Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
This episode is brought to you by Major Spoilers VIP members.
VIP stands for very important people, and their small monthly contributions ensure that this podcast remains free for all of you.
If you would like to become a bronze, silver, or gold VIP member, go to members.majorspoilers.com for more information.
I sure do thank you for your support. Now, here's your show.
Well, that's weird.
What's that? Your face? This week on Dueling Review, we review Titans Hunt number 4, written by Dan Abnett with artist Paolo Sequeira. Enter Hawk and Dove, drawn to a mystery that threatens to destroy the perfect balance of their partnership. And the lost and scattered Titans, Dick, Donna, Garth, Roy, Gnark, Mel, and Lilith, battle to discover the dark secret that unleashes them. That unites them. The time's running out. Can they make sense of their twisted dreams before the escaping nightmare overwhelms them?
Twisted. It's
Thank you for joining us once again on Dueling Reviews. I'm Stephen Schleicher, and here's Matthew Peterson. Hello, Matthew.
What up, home skillet?
Question for you.
Sure.
What version of the Titans are we looking at in this Titans Hunt? I mean, this seems to be Gnart and Lilith. I don't know who those two are.
Okay. This seems to be, I won't say a restoration, but mm-hmm. this is a retelling of Teen Titans stories. Parts of Teen Titans stories from the 1960s.
Ah, so these are all characters. So Caveboy, Mal are all characters from the mid-60s, early 70s?
Yes, I would say mid to late 60s. Gnark, I think, came out in like 1967. There was a time when Teen Titans was a monthly book, and Gnark and Mal and Lilith, Mal had like four identities in a row in the 1970s. Arsenal, back when he was Speedy, Kid Flash, Robin, Wonder Girl, and part-time Aqualad were all the Titans. So all of these guys, and Hawk and Dove were very briefly Titans in the late 60s, early 70s.
Okay, so the other question then is, because we, and I'm guessing this is the first appearance of Donna Troy?
It seems like it. I don't recall any previous New 52 or DCU appearances of Donna.
Okay.
And this seems to be all of a sudden Donna exists. If she has popped up, she popped up in the David Finch Wonder Woman stories, which I have not been reading because they're David Finch Wonder Woman stories.
Okay. All right. And then
the words written by David Finch, I'm not on board.
I know that Dick Grayson, who is in this, is the current Dick Grayson that's Agent of Spiral or whatever he is.
Yes.
But the one that I'm concerned about or confused about is Roy Harper, because I thought he was running around with Red Hood and he was going by the name Arsenal and not back to his old Speedy Red Arrow tag.
I think now in this issue, Gnark does call him Speedy a couple of times.
Yeah, he's done that a couple of times in the four issues that we've read.
I believe that this is the current, the actual current Arsenal.
Okay.
In between issues of Red Hood and Arsenal.
Okay.
Their new series is really where I read the first couple of issues and it seemed like they were sort of sometimes fighting together, but they weren't traveling together and they weren't living together.
Okay.
So I believe that this takes place probably in between issues of Red Hood and Arsenal.
Yeah, so this is the confusing part, maybe to new readers who haven't been following along with everything that's going on with New 52, and they see this thing called Titans Hunt, and they see some familiar faces on the cover, but then they open it up, and there's, like, no Starfire, there's no Raven.
Right, there's no new Teen Titans.
There's no real Garth in here. Yeah, there are no Teen Titans in here. Yeah. But from what I'm reading here and what you've said, this seems to be all new 52 continuity characters, and this is not some weird post-Telos, you know, multiverse characters that are slipping in and running around a la Lois and Clark.
What I think this is an intentional retcon, and I think that the reason for it is the TNT series that was recently tanked that was talking about the Young Titans. This is restoring or rebuilding the history of a Teen Titans as existing in the DC universe, even though they explicitly said at the beginning of the New 52 there was no Titans team before Red Robin brought together the current group. This is now the story of how, oh, it turns out we were wrong on that, and we're bringing back the, not the pre-crisis continuity, but we're bringing back a version of the Teen Titans history.
You know how the Legion of Superheroes had their 5 year later thing?
Yes.
Because it's been, you know, essentially 5 years since the superheroes have been around. This reading this, when I picked it up, it felt like I was reading a Teen Titans 5 year later storyline. Everybody's older. Everybody's wiser. Everybody's settled down into a more mature thing. And then some kind of dream that they keep having through these four issues has them somehow running into each other, and almost like a hypnotic spell has been broken. They're like, your name's Donna Troy, but I shouldn't know that.
Remember.
But it seems like I know that. And Donna's like, why do I keep calling you Robin? And what does that mean? And da, 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 da. And so it's very interesting, including down to the point where the story takes place at Hatton Corners.
Right.
Which was what, the original site or the original clubhouse of the Teen Titans back in the 60s.
The very first Teen Titans story ever took place in the town of Hatton Corners. It was just Wally, Dick, and Aqualad. The three of them came together and fought a villain in the town of Hatton Corners, where the adults were down on the children, and the kids were all like, yeah, we're just swinging hip guys. Yeah, we wanted to do all hip things and 23 Skidoo. I don't know what they talked like in 1961. I wasn't born for another decade. But yes, that first story took place in the town of Hatton Corners, and there was a villain in it, Stephen.
And what was that villain's name?
Mr. Twister.
Dun, dun, dun. And that's what happens. That's what happens in this issue is by the time we get to the last couple of pages, or about midway through the issue, I guess, Mr. Twister comes out. He's been appearing in shadows in previous issues, and suddenly he's revealed to not only be singing some kind of crazy song that everyone can hear, but suddenly he attacks Mal, who has had a Grand Mal seizure.
Not cool.
That's what happened last issue. He had a seizure and freaked out.
He did. Well, Mal is the horn blower, I think, in this continuity.
Yeah. So I am curious, what do we know about Mr. Twister from history?
Mr. Twister.
Not related to Mr. Sinister?
Right. Well, actually, they're both of the Isters, the illustrious Isters of Northwest Pennsylvania. Mr. Twister and Mr. Sinister are actually third cousins. Twister had magic powers that allowed him to control, I think, all the elements, but he was called Mr. Twister because he did tornadoes with his magic staff.
Oh, okay. So this then doesn't appear to be that original Mr. Twister if he's in there controlling people's minds and...
Well, he's magic, and he's dressed the same.
Oh, okay. Well, all right.
He's carrying that thing that basically looks like a coup stick, and he's wearing his tricorn hat and his long 40s coat. So that's the reason that I say that they're trying to rebuild Titans continuity, which, again, I'm all for. I felt like one of the big failings of the New 52 was wiping out the history of the sidekicks. Basically wiping out the sidekicks.
Right, because Wally didn't exist anymore. The world had only been around for five years.
Right. Robin had been Robin for 10 minutes and then retired, and then there was five more Robins in the next week and a half. And the thing about the sidekicks and DC editorial, and by that I mean Dandadio, who's like the executive Framistat.
Well, it's really Jim. It's really Jim Lee and Dandadio.
Well, and Didio has said he's unhappy with the sidekick. Specifically, you know, he said they were going to kill Nightwing 10 years ago.
Right.
Because he couldn't be a kid anymore, but he couldn't ever grow up and become Batman. So there was, quote, no point. And when they wiped out the Titans in the New 52, well, you know, they kind of said, hey, you know, there was no Titans. And now these new kids are the only Titans. But 5 years down the line, look what we get.
I'm wondering, I mean, I really kind of, this is a limited series.
Yeah, I believe it's six and this is number four.
Right. It will be interesting to see what comes out of all of this, because if it kind of reestablishes that the Titans have been around for a while,
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that this series would then have a point, especially post-Convergence, because in Convergence, we had all of these different universes, including pre-Crisis universes that were around, and characters were around, and we do have Superman, Lois, and Clark, which tells the adventures of one of those Convergence couples coming to the New 52 and living in the same world as Superman and Lois and everything else that's going on. It almost would make sense to say, after they've reestablished this, remember how in post-Crisis, it was, who was the one villain that remembered everything? What was it? Psycho Pirate.
Psycho Pirate.
Remember how Psycho Pirate started to remember everything and was trying to repair some of the holes or the gaps? Maybe that's what Mr. Twister is maybe he's Psycho Pirate reborn, and he's going to open up their minds, and we're going to find out that these guys were from a different timeline or something. It just seems weird and out of place. I've read all four issues. It just seems weird and out of place for this story to be happening with the age of these characters and the continuity of the DC universe, which they say there is no continuity anymore, but it needs to fit somehow in. I mean, it's fine to put up
these kids are. I mean, I don't picture any of them over 22.
Oh, no, they I would think they'd have to be a little bit older than that, because Malcolm is winning awards for scoring movies and he has to be well respected. And so my guess is he's gone through some education and he's got to be 25 to 30. I see all of these characters as in their late 20s, early 30s. Think of them as CW Barry Allen.
There is no way that New 52 Dick Grayson is over 25.
Oh yeah, I totally think he's over 25.
I don't think he can be.
The way he's written in here, totally think he's over 25.
Nah, I think that's
because he would have to gone through some other training to become some agent of Spiral or whatever.
No, he had no training. He died and
Roy Harper. Roy Harper has to be over 21 because he's drinking whiskey.
Yes, because no one is allowed to drink before they're 21.
Exactly, right?
And this is a kid who was doing heroin when he was 16.
Well, but see, this is a different time, and you don't want to send bad messages to kids, so you're going to have to want to make sure that everyone's up on the level. That's why when he went to buy the whiskey in issue one, they're like, we need to see your card, please, and he's like, of course, and the guy's like, huh, you are 21, you look pretty young. And he's like, yep, all this healthy living I've been doing.
Yeah, I don't...
So
I don't,
there, I'm guessing 25 to 30.
Nah, they're 22 to 24 for sure.
Well, we'll have to disagree on that. I just don't see it, at least in the way it's written here.
Here's what series. I think has happened. I believe that something happened, and these nine kids agreed that they had to mystically trap Mr. Twister, like suck him off into the Phantom Zone or something and hide him away. And one of the things that they had to do to make sure that he couldn't come back was to erase their own memories, or else his magic would bring him back, right? Mm-hmm. And so they had to erase their memories of ever having been friends, and they sacrificed this big chunk of their lives and their hearts, you know, when they were, I don't know, let's say 17. That seems appropriate. Whenever this happened, and now whatever created that, whatever spell, whatever thing, is now breaking down, and they're being forced to deal with the sins of the past. Ooh, Teen Titans.
You know, if this is a six-issue miniseries, it ends in two more months, which is right around the time. It's too bad that it, and again, who knows what they're doing, but it would be close to when the rest of the New 52 hits issue 52 in all of their big book titles. This week and this month actually hits all the 48s. So we're about 4 months away from 52. We don't know what their big summer plans are or their big event for this year is, but it would seem like following Convergence, you would have a Psycho Pirate Wave Rider type event. And this could be the first opening chapter of that. Remember that Convergence thing? No, we all forgot about it because we weren't there. Well, here are all these heroes that have been running around and they're living all in this same reality again, where maybe this Roy Harper is not the Roy Harper from Red Hood and Arsenal. And so you've got two Roy Harpers running around.
I don't see any indication of.
I don't either, but it just seems like that's kind of what this feels like. Why do this? I mean, so
the Titans existed again, so that if the TV show got picked up,
it'd be so easy to just change Teen Titans to Titans or the New Titans or whatever. This series, and I'm not saying it's bad, but it is pandering to older readers.
Well, okay.
And I'm not saying that's bad, but I'm just saying that with this whole new young, we got to get new readers instead of old readers. This one seems to be pandering to the old readers saying, oh, wait, please come back. We've got something for you too.
I don't know. I mean, these are a lot of assumptions.
No, I'm just saying from reading this and from seeing what they're doing. And if you're saying they're trying to reestablish the Titans and it's this group of Titans and not the Teen Titans Go characters that people know, then they are pandering to older readers.
Right now, none of the Titans teams in the last 10 years have been the Teen Titans Go characters. Cyborg, of course, is no longer a Titan. I think that, honestly,
here's the thing. If they were wanting to attract younger readers into this series, instead of having Gnart or Donna Troy, for example, Cyborg on the Justice League would be having these waking dreams, and he would be in this series. The same way you would have a Raven who is working, you know, like a sideshow fortune-telling thing and having these things, and you bring them together. New readers of comic books, the younger readers, and I'm talking about my age kids up to Zach's age kids, for example, 23. Those are the ones that when you say Titans or Teen Titans, they're remembering Teen Titans Go. They're remembering the series from the early 2000s, and they're remembering what's on today. So if you are wanting to attract new readers or younger readers into another series with Titans, that's who you would have in the series. This one, specifically because of the characters they're choosing and the time period that they come from, is specifically targeting older readers. I'm not saying that that's good or bad. I'm just saying, when you weigh it of, if I went out and asked a group of younglings who read comics and say, who are the Teen Titans? They would name off Starfire, Robin, Cyborg, Beast Boy, and the other one, Raven.
Characters came together as the new Teen Titans?
Well, that was in the 70s.
It was 1979.
But because of the cartoon shows over the last decade and a half, that's where people are going to get their team affiliations from.
I don't understand how that team is any less pandering to old readers.
The only reason I say that is because when you look at Teen Titans today, if you go on media, that is the group that makes up that team. Those are the ones that are on the cartoon series, and that's where that is where your new young readers, your potential comic readers, that is where they're gaining their experience. That is their gateway as the TV show, so that when they go to the comic books and they see Titans, they're like, ah, cartoon series. I know all those guys. This is going to be a good read. Okay. I'm not saying it's not trying to attract how that team is not pandering to people who read it in the 70s and 80s. I'm saying new readers, which is what DC's primary target goal is right now, to attract new readers, new young readers.
Say it that again. Sixth time, it will probably work.
Well, it doesn't sound like it's working to you because I don't think you're seeing my point.
I am understanding your point. I see your point. What I'm trying to tell you is that's not what they're doing here. All of these Titans predate that.
I know. That's why I say they're pandering to the older reader.
All of the Titans that we're talking about, with the exception of Cyborg, are in the current Titans book. You can't retcon them back into existing before that, because the current Titans book, the one that's monthly, that is not a limited series, is still coming out. And it has Raven, and it has Beast
right.
Boy. It has
which,
those characters in it.
Which
this
again,
is establishing the earlier history of a Teen Titans as having existed.
So let me ask you again, Matthew. Why then does this series exist?
To From, retcon
no,
in.
No, not to retcon. Why does this series exist? Who are they trying to attract? Who are the readers of this series? Who's going to be most interested in reading this? Give
okay,
me an age
tell
demographic.
Me, tell me
give
what me, you
give
want
me
to
an,
hear.
Give me an age demographic of who is going to read this comic.
I can't do that.
Why not?
Well, for one thing, most of the comic readers are over 30 right now. And for another...
Okay, you just said it right there. Comic readers over 30.
All comic readers are over 30.
No, they're not.
The vast majority of the people reading comics are in their 30s and 40s.
So does that seem then that this book is going against the directive that DC wants to attract young readers?
No.
Okay. All right. I'd like to see which apples and oranges you're eating, because this seems to be attracting the people who walked away from DC with the launch of New 52. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm not saying that this is a bad story. I'm just saying that seems to be who this is targeted towards.
Okay.
And you don't agree. So moving on.
I mean, disagree. I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Which shoe is that?
Well, we talk about the audiences. And, you know, we presume that we know the audiences that we're seeing. But I think that, again, assuming that all DC wants is to bring in new readers, I think that's a jump. I think to assume that this story is any more or less accessible than any other story being told in the New 52, the DC universe, where the history really doesn't have to and doesn't exist. I mean, every story that we've seen since 2011 is essentially rebuilding history of a DC universe that hadn't existed. So when we see things like in the first issue of Teen Titans circa 2011, they say there was never a team before this. When Wonder Woman first comes to man's world in 2006 instead of in 1941, they're basically establishing the framework for a whole new storytelling thing. Right now, they are trying to go back and say, okay, well, here's the story of why there were Teen Titans before this team, or why there weren't. But I don't necessarily think that it's going to be any less accessible to someone coming in off the street. You don't need to know what happened in the 1968 stories, because aside from those, you know, the Easter egg moments with Hat and Corners, the little bit about, oh, Mr. Twister showed up once before, but even you said he's a different character now.
I said I don't know, because I'm not familiar with this character. This predates my reading of mm-hmm. Teen Titans.
I guess I don't know how this is any more or less accessible than any other New 52 book right off the stands.
I guess the reason I say that is because of the specific characters that they're using. Granted, this could be, yes, this is the first appearance of Gnark in this universe. That could be fine. But because it seems to be tying back into something that happened 40 years ago specifically, regardless of Easter eggs or not, it seems like, again, they're trying to say, older readers, here's something that you can enjoy for those of you who don't like whatever New 52 title that we're pushing out on you this week that we're trying to aim to the... you know, the 13 to 21 year old demographic.
Mm-hmm. So if they are aiming this at the older demographic, where's the problem?
I mean, didn't say it was a problem. I said they're pandering to that audience. They're trying to
pandering in this context, but
that's what they're doing. They're saying, hey, come back to us. Here's something for you. That's all I'm saying as far as what pandering is in this case. Okay. So that was my statement. I didn't say there was anything wrong with the story. I didn't say that there's anything wrong with the art. I don't think there's anything wrong with this issue. I was just making the comment that this is who they're targeting for a very specific reason.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I do think that the story is problematic because people who don't know who these characters are not familiar with it, are going to care less about 50, could give, you know, could care less about 50% of this, of the characters in this book.
Mm-hmm. I think you do have to buy into that central expectation that the underlying mystery is going to be worth the time. And that, I think that's the biggest problem when you come into, really from issue one of this series, is they're telling us a story that has this mystery element, this mysterious thing hanging in the background. And when you get to the end and when it's collected and you read it, you're like, oh, well, maybe that was great. Maybe it was disappointing. When you have a limited, I think that buy-in is always your biggest issue. It's your biggest hurdle to overcome is, do I care why Hawk and Dove don't remember that they were Teen Titans once? I do.
Well,
but I can see where not everybody's going.
But see, the hurdle that you have to get over is, what percentage of readers are going to know who Hawk and Dove are? People who have been reading since the New 52 are going to know who Roy Harper is, are going to know who Dick Grayson
Hawk
is.
Hawk and Dove were one of the founding titles of the New 52.
Okay, then they probably would know that. But again, is Aqualad, who is Aquaman in? I guess Aquaman is Aquaman in the New 52.
Right.
What is Garth?
This is the first appearance of Garth, too.
Okay. So
Flashpoint,
that could be interesting in itself. First appearance of Donna Troy. I think more people would know who Donna Troy is overall. Hey. But again, like I said, with Gnark and Lilith, especially, who is the, I don't want to say MacGuffin, but she is the driving.
She's the central.
Yeah. She's the connecting thread on all this. People are going to say, well, who's Lilith? Who is this? And then you're going to say, oh, well, she was from the Teen Titans. It's like, man, you know, someone like our age. Well, I've been reading Teen Titans since the 80s. I don't ever remember Lilith.
I think Lilith was in the
Teen. I've been reading Teen Titans since 1987, after the crisis. When all that was taken away.
Lilith was in the 90s.
Was she?
I'm sure she. Yeah. Okay. For a while, I think she was called Omen, too.
Mm, okay.
She was in the Jurgens run.
Jurgens. So overall, so when I look at the story part of this, beyond the overall look at this series, this issue is not bad. I think it's got some weird introducing character moments. Mm-hmm. Like it seems like the Mr. Twister moment should have been the end of this issue. That should have been your cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next issue would have introduced you to Hawk and Dove and continued on that part of the story there. It just seems like the cliffhanger part of this is oddly placed. It almost feels two different issues, because the Dick Grayson is Nightwing. I'm not sure that that's a huge, unless they're trying to go for a hell yes moment. This was not the cliffhanger moment or the exciting moment that I was expecting in this issue.
They're like, oh, it's Nightwing and he's wearing his red suit again. Oh, yeah. Cool. Because he's been out of costume for, what, 8 issues now? 8
Something
months
like that.
Die?
Yeah.
He's got his own Grayson Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. title.
Right,
too,
right. So. The Agent of Spiral thing, which apparently a lot of people really like. So that's cool.
Well, I've heard good things about it.
It just felt like the timing parts were a little weird as I was reading this. And in fact, I would say
for the whole series,
that's what exactly what I was going to say, because I did read these all sequentially.
Mm-hmm.
Not month to month, but like in one big chunk.
Right.
And that's how it kind of felt to me, that the cliffhangers were misplaced.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it, it actually maybe is right, because in issue one, you had a midpoint and cliffhanger. And then at the end of issue one, you had a hell yes moment with Garth showing up. Then at the end of the end of issue three had Donna Troy revealing herself. This issue has Nightwing revealing himself.
Mm-hmm. I think the end of issue one was that moment where we discovered that Lilith had files
right,
with
right,
all
that's
of the
right.
Titans' names
that's
and
right.
they didn't exist anymore. Yeah.
Yes.
And that may be something, too. I mean, there's a possibility that they're each coming together as two-act structures with the breakdown, the back and forth between the characters. But, yeah, when it comes to modern storytelling, this is one where you can definitely tell that I think they're writing a six-issue story and the breaks are kind of coming when they run out of pages to some degree. And they're giving you something like that Nightwing reveal. That's not a bad closing moment. You're like, oh, wow, Nightwing's back. I thought he was going to run and get his Robin
costume. That's what I thought, too, because the whole thing is the dream sequence at the beginning of the issue has them all in their costumes with Dick wearing the Robin costume. And since he specifically was in the Batcave and said, oh, I picked this up on the way.
I accidentally grabbed it.
I accidentally grabbed it. Didn't even know I was got Mr. Sticky Fingers all over this.
Yeah. I noticed that in the flashback to the story that didn't happen, Donna is wearing her red singlet outfit, which is
right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how they tie some of this stuff. I want to see how it wraps up. Number one.
Yeah. I'd like to see this actually maybe create an ongoing or, you know, fold these guys into the Titans or give us a second monthly Titans book and see if, you know, the market's even capable of supporting it.
I don't, to be honest with some of the things that I've been reading about the market and DC and the things that have been going on, I think DC is really kind of hurting in sales right now. I mean, granted, they're still the second biggest publisher, but when you're getting beat, when your market share control is like 33% and Marvel continues to control a larger and larger portion of that, the answer isn't to publish more titles, but it's actually to make your current titles better and attract more readers, sell more comics. And that will increase that market share that way. I mean, if you look in the last couple of months, DC has been in the top 10, had one title in the top 10 in the last couple of months, but many times it's an all Marvel month. The top 10 books have all been from Marvel. So that's why I was pondering earlier that if you're bringing in older audiences to this, maybe this was a lead up to some big Psycho Pirate moment where this whole convergence thing now becomes wider. These multiple heroes are showing up, and it explains why Roy Harper can be both in the character can be running around with Red Hood in whatever city they're running around in and out in, where is this state at that they're in, Florida?
I don't know if it's Florida or France. I can't even remember now. Hatton Corners was in, I want to say New England somewhere.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's hard to say.
Yeah. So it would just be curious.
Metropolis was in Delaware. Remember that.
Yeah. And of course, this all being part of the, leading up to all the 52 issues, which I'm very interested to see. Well, the April stuff has just come out. Those would be all the 52 issues, I believe. What DC has planned going into that?
Nothing.
Probably not, which is a shame because you'd think that with their whole new 52 dealio that they got going on.
That's the old thing. Now we're in the DCU.
Oh, that's right. Y-O-U. It's all about Y-O-U.
Exactly. Y-O-U going to go buy some Teen Titans comics.
Why are you old people not out there buying comics? Oh, here's a Titans hunt. So who are they hunting? Yeah. Or is it the Titans are being hunted?
I think they're being hunted by something young.
And why did the first issue – April is going to be the 51st issue releases. So we haven't seen what's coming out with the 52 issues yet.
Still, but probably not.
But at the beginning of Titans Hunt, they had said who is the missing Titan or something. That was we haven't even seen that play out yet, have we?
They haven't explicitly called it unless it was Donna.
Okay.
I don't know. There may be a lost Titan that we don't know about. Let's see. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yes, they actually say in this issue there were 8 or 9 of us.
Mm-hmm.
And there are 8 characters in play. There's Hawk and Dove. There's Garth and Donna. There's Gnark and Roy. There's Lilith and there's Dick. Mal. Oh, well, Mal would be.
Mal nine. And Bumblebee.
That's 10.
Let me go back to issue one really quick. I've got it here. Thanks to Comixology, you can pop these issues up super, super quick. And if I go scroll all the way down to the last page of that issue, here are the names that are in there. Wonder Girl, Robin, Harold, which would be Mal.
Mm-hmm.
Speedy, Hawk, Dove, Cave Boy, and Aqualad. So that's all of them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And Lilith makes 9.
Ooh, maybe Lilith is the missing Titan.
Well, she did say you have to come find me, but Roy has been communicating with her via phone.
Yeah, she's like his therapist or something.
Yeah, so there's some weird stuff going on with this story.
It's Abnett. Abnett likes to get complicated.
And I don't mind. I really don't mind if this is a complicated story. I don't mind if the payoff, if it's literally you need to wait to the last issue for the payoff, because I'm totally okay with that.
Right.
So I'm totally okay with that. But I just feel like there are some weird reveal moments, some weird splash page moments. Remember when the edict was second page in, you had to have a splash page for a while.
Yeah,
that was the editorial mandate. that, I mean, you laugh, and that was a real thing.
I remember.
For like
a
year, we had to do that.
Splashy page.
Yeah. I just want to know where this is going. I want to know what is the end result. If the end result is, yay, we were the Titans a long time ago, and there's a big happy moment where they're all kicking back, drinking mimosas, and then nothing happens after that, I will be disappointed. So I'm hoping that this is...
were in your heart all along.
Yes, exactly. I'm hoping that this leads to something important and is not just a 6-issue miniseries to say, hey, remember the old Titans? Of course you don't, because you weren't born yet. Here they are anyway.
Cave Boy, the Dark Knight returns.
Yeah. Art, what did you think of the art?
I really enjoy the art. Sekiro does really good work in this issue.
Yeah, I do too.
I think his costumes are solid. The only thing that I am worried about is whether Garth's costume actually does change.
Oh,
because
change
if
color?
Not color, shape.
Oh.
If you look at the waves across his chest,
mm-hmm.
they change direction at least once, and they seem to be different from panel to panel. I'm wondering if he has like a magical costume that actually changes, like it's the waves are moving in his suit. That would be neat because he is
when
magic.
Was that blue and black costume introduced? That wasn't the Aquaman costume.
This is a modified version of the Aquaman costume from 1985. Yeah.
Because I know that Garth was wearing that in the Titans series that was on Cartoon Network. And I want to say that was a costume that we saw in Brave and the Bold. It was in Brave and the Bold.
When he was Tempest in the 90s.
Yes,
he
that's
was
what I'm thinking.
A red and black version.
Oh, red and black. Okay.
And it turned blue. I want to say it turned blue for the first time in the Teen Titans animated series.
Yeah.
This is the first time I remember it being blue and black like that.
Okay.
When Aquaman first wore it, it was blue and white.
Mm.
And then Garth wore it and it was red and black. And apparently, if your mentor has clothes left around, you can just pick them
you
up.
Just
and
pick
wear
them up and, hey, these fit me now.
Hey.
That's what happens. That's why the young one, we haven't had to buy any clothes for the young one. It just grows into his brother's
I'm
clothes.
I'm the Aquaman now.
Yeah. so overall, what's your final thought on this issue?
I liked it. I don't know that it's going to be for everybody because, again, I think this is a book specifically for people who care about Titans having existed. And I admit that's probably not going to be a huge, huge group of people. But once you pick it up and once you read it, I think that it's a really solid book. I think the art is good. And I think the story is intriguing enough to keep me coming back. I don't like the cover. But other than that, I think. Well, I don't.
It's yeah, just, yeah. You know,
sometimes you get a cover and you're just like, maybe not so much.
Yeah. No, I thought this was a fun issue. I thought it was interesting. I like that. Hey, we're meeting for the first time. Let's fight. And then we got to figure everything out, which is, you know, kind of that tropey thing that you've come to expect.
And now we fight.
Yeah. And so I enjoyed that. I like this mystery. I wish that I knew more of what was going on and what the direction was. And of course, you know, we won't know that until the fifth issue hits. And then those solicitations for the 52nd week come out.
You're not going to do anything.
I know. What a shame. What
they're
going to
do
shame.
Something for the big 50th anniversary issues. You know, is it 13 or 14 of them that are still around?
Yeah.
And then the 52s are just going to whoosh right over the top of their heads.
I would say that if you haven't read the previous three issues, this is certainly not going to clear up anything for you.
Oh, no. In fact, if you haven't read or can't read the first three issues, I would not start here.
No. But I think if you are a older reader, and I think if you want to read what's been going on with the Titans, or at least Titans potentially in this new 52, then thankfully for things like Comixology, the back issues are really easy to pick up. And you can go and grab those and you can read them and you can enjoy it. And so I think that there is a lot of enjoyment to be had in this, even though what I had said earlier in the discussion, the heated argument we had about who this is targeting. Right. That's not to say that the series is bad at all. Far be it from that. I just, you know, think that they're maybe targeting a specific audience for a very specific reason. And that's to take their money. But I think it's very enjoyable to read.
I kind of want to go and buy a copy with the color, the adult coloring book.
Oh yeah. So you can color that. Yeah, because that's cool.
That cover is a takeoff on the old Teen Titans issue number like 20 from 1969, which again, you know, is the time frame that we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
You remember it as like it's the 60s.
I'm trying to see. Let me see here. Titans Hunt number 2.
Mm-hmm.
Landed at the 110 mark. Of the top 300 in November 2015, it had 22,000 copies sold.
That's not bad.
The upper third. So, I mean, it's doing okay. Teen Titans number 13 was ahead of it at number 96 with 26,000 copies sold. So,
not very much.
Yeah. And it seems like most of the DC stuff is falling in that mid third of books being sold. Let me see. What's the lowest book? Ooh, DC has a really low book in November.
What was it?
No, I'm sorry. That's Dynamite. DC's lowest book was number 269. Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Number 63, selling 5,215 copies.
It's a Scooby-Doo comic, though.
Let me see if I can find another. This list I'm looking at, of course, the major spoilers one is Sortable, but the one that I had called up via the search popped up ahead of ours. Fables the Wolf Among Us sold 6,700 copies. And this is all back in November, but I'm using that as kind of a touchstone. Survivors Club number 2, which is a DC comic, 7,800. Is that a DC or a Vertigo title?
Survivors Club is a Vertigo book.
Okay. Batman In-Game Director's Cut number 1 was at 196 at 8,884. So, yeah, most of their books are selling in that mid-third range.
Endgame.
Yeah.
What game are we ending?
I don't know. Justice League 3001 number 6 sold 14,000 copies at 144.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah. More. So maybe there is a market afterwards. I think those numbers would have to be a little bit higher in order to get an ongoing Titans book.
You know, you fold them into that main Teen Titans book and you figure 110 and 96, you could probably put them together and get like, I don't know,
95. Man, in the, maybe in the 90s. It's not going to be
93.7.
Because wasn't the Perez Wolfman run like, weren't those Teen Titans books selling, or was it New Titans or New Teen Titans?
New Whatever. Teen Titans sold really well.
Yeah, wasn't it like up in the really upper echelon of, wasn't it a top 10 book at DC?
It was DC's top book for a couple of years. In fact, there are those who say that New Teen Titans is the book that saved DC from bankruptcy back in the day.
Okay.
Because there really weren't any big DC books that were selling. Teen Titans came in, and all of a sudden you had Outsiders, which was very much Teen Titans.
Yeah.
Basically, what they were doing in Teen Titans was a take on Claremont X-Men, which was the huge deal from a couple of years earlier, Marvel's resurgence.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, they rolled everything into 1984, and 1984 was a pretty great year for comics.
Yeah.
And then the crisis.
Then they screwed it all up. Do you think the world would have been better off with a multiverse or not if they would have never done the crisis? Although one could argue without the crisis, there wouldn't have been that big milestone moment in comics in the 80s.
I think that the crisis was necessary at the time, but I think that the crisis, like so many things you do when you're young, ends up being something that had worse consequences than the positive sides of it. Because really, in 1982, 83, 84, DC was the old, staid, you know, boring. Yeah,
they were like 50 years old at that point.
Yeah, they relaunched Superman, and they relaunched Batman, and they relaunched mm-hmm. Wonder Woman. Justice League became a whole new beast and became something entirely different. Again, it's kind of like that argument that we occasionally have about Civil War, where there were all of these really cool beats in Civil War, but within a year or two, they had to roll it all back.
Mm-hmm.
They had to retcon away things that happened, and they had to rebuild Iron Man's character from the ground, and Spider-Man had to sell his secret identity to the devil. You know, it made for a good story at the time. It made for some headlines and some interesting stuff, but I think that it took more time to fix it. And that's the same thing with the Crisis is, I mean, even right after the Crisis,
yeah,
they were having to do fix. They were having to, you know, do continuity implants and rebuilds and what's, oh, wait, no, we can't have a Hawkman. We have to invent a new Hawkman because we just launched a Hawkman that said there was no Hawkman, but there were totally Hawkmans in this issue.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's one of those things where when you do a universal retcon, there's always collateral damage. And honestly, this book exists because of it.
Mm.
So, you know, it's kind of the nature of the rebuild the universe beast.
Yeah. If people are interested, oh, they don't have the exact. Yeah, here it is. The market share that I'd mentioned earlier for December 2015. Retail market share, Marvel held 37% of the market. DC Comics had 29% of the market with Image at 10%. If you look at the comics shipped, and this is also kind of telling, DC shipped 98 comics in December. Marvel shipped 81 comics in December. And yet
Marvel sold more copies with fewer titles on the stand.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's rough.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And I don't have the year to year or the month to month comparison, but I think Heidi McDonald had a article up this past week where she was looking at and tracking DC Comics from like 2015 compared to 2014. And they're quite a bit lower than they were in 2014.
Hopefully they can pull it out.
Yeah. And you know, this may be way. What? You know, Titans series?
More Titans. Yeah. Twister.
All right.
Mr. Twister, The Dark Knight Returns.
Out from Dark Horse next week comes Conan the Avenger number 25, Gru, Friends and Foe trade paperback volume 2, ElfQuest Final Quest number 13, Negative Space number 3, and Pastaways number 8. DC Comics, as we're leading up to the big 52 month, which apparently they're not going to do anything with, Aquaman has number 48, Batman and Robin Eternal hits number 17, Batman... the Jiro Kawada Bat Manga Collection Volume 3 comes out, which would be really good. If you haven't read those are trippy-ass things.
They are so strange and so great.
What's his name? Mr. Deadman or whatever. Lord Deathman. Oh, my God. I love reading that one. I've got that first trade paperback collection.
Yeah, I have the first two, actually.
And I will just... on a whim, just go grab it off the shelf and read that first story again because it is so weird. Black Canary number 7, Cyborg number 7, Deathstroke number 14, Last Gang in Town number 2, Justice League of America number 7, Teen Titans number 16, and Twilight Children number 4. That's a mature reader's book. IDW Publishing has Atomic Robo and the Ring of Fire number 5. Holy crap, if you are not reading that book, you are missing out. And if you haven't read the book, head over to atomic-robo.com. They've got everything up there for free, and you can read, I think, today hit the very last page of the story arc. So, interesting. Garbage Pail Kids trade paperback. That's $19.99. You'll never get your money back from.
You can keep my money. I just want my time back.
Yeah. Transformers Sins of the Wreckers number 3. A lot of people are into that. X-Files season 11 number 6 comes out next week. Image Comics has Beauty number 6, Black Magic number 4, Chew 54, Deadly Class number 18, Odyssey number 9, Savage Dragon 211.
Dragon's on a roll lately.
He is. If you follow him on Twitter, he's got a lot of things to share.
Yeah.
Yep. Marvel Comics has A-Force Presents Trade Paperback Volume 3, the all-new, all-different Avengers number 4. And if you saw the news today up on MajorSpoilers.com, you know Steve Rogers is coming back as as Captain America, one of two Captain Americas that will be running around the Marvel Universe. And Steve Rogers has a new shield.
And it's ugly.
It it's somewhat reminiscent of the original Shield from the 1940s. But this one splits in half. Did you see that?
Yes.
So you can have like two mini shields and fight people that way.
Also ugly.
Well, you know, there is Captain America Civil War coming out in a month or two, so we need to get to get going on the Steve Rogers stuff.
Got to get your IP back into
yep.
tip-top shape.
Yep.
And then if they kill him at the end of the movie.
Yeah, then they're going to be like, whoa.
We shouldn't have done that.
If you love Steve Rogers, make sure you go read Captain America Steve Rogers for further adventures of Steve Rogers. All New Inhumans number 3 comes out next week. Armor Wars Warzone's trade paperback. Carnage number 2. And Carnage number 4, number 2 is a second printing. Daredevil number 3, which I'm looking forward to.
Number 3 or number 4?
Daredevil number 3 comes out next week. Howard the Duck number 2 is a second printing.
Good
Kanan, book. Kanan number 10. Nova number 2, that is a second printing. And Nova number 3 second printings come out. Old Man Logan number 1, Matthew. You know you want to read it. You know you want to read it.
Nope.
Okay. Spider-Woman number 3. Star Wars number 13. That's a second printing. A lot of second printings coming out from Marvel next week. Must be because of that stellar month they had in December.
You know what it is.
What's that?
Secret Wars is over. We want to reprint weren't buying.
Yeah, we want to reprint all the things so you can get caught back up on.
That's right. Secret Wars, man.
Yep, in all the rest category, we have Alice in Murderland, graphic novel, volume 3.
Murder.
Yeah, Archie Funhouse Comics Double Digest, number 18. Bee and Puppy Cat trade paperback, volume 2. Big Trouble in Little China trade paperback. Black Bag, number 3. Bloodshot Reborn, number 10. Curb Stomp trade paperback. I think we reviewed that on the Major Spoilers podcast, or somewhere we've reviewed at least one or two issues of that.
I think you may have done one for the MSP.
Maybe.
That's what I think.
Doctor Who, the 10th Doctor, year 2, number 5. And Doctor
year
Who,
two,
the 11th.
Five, that makes it 10.
I know. The Doctor Who, the 11th Doctor, year 2, number 5, both come out. So you've got a couple of Doctor Who number 5s, one featuring the one guy and the other one featuring that other guy.
Right. Yep. There's Chinny and Sand Shoes.
Yep. Faith number 1 comes out next week. Let's see, Grim Fairy Tales Red Agent number 1 and Grim Fairy Tales Wonderland number 43. We also have Munchkin number 13. You can get another card for your Munchkin deck from that. Simpsons Illustrated number 21. And what else do we have down here at the bottom? Wes Craven Coming of Rage number 4.
Cha-cha-cha. Didn't Wes Craven pass away?
Yes, he did.
And they're still doing comics in his name.
They've got his IP.
Well, that seems tasteless.
It's interesting. It's interesting when your name becomes its own property. Yeah.
Tom Clancy,
Michael Turner, right?
That's true.
So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of that stuff still going on. Yeah, Tom Clancy's a good one. Abraham Lincoln,
Frank Miller.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
The crazy funhouse android that they borrowed from Disney World.
Yep.
That runs around in the hat and says he's Frank Miller. Yeah, something scary going on.
Next week on Dueling Review,
Ghostbusters International number 1. There's something strange in the neighborhood. Whether that neighborhood is New York City or Venice, Italy, the Ghostbusters will be there. After a bust at the United Nations, the boys in gray are engaged to investigate an old world haunting, where they begin to unravel a mystery that sends them around the globe while still trying to keep their contact with the city, county, and state of New York. Join us for the next chapter in Ghostbusters history, because you demanded it, Ghostbusters International.
Thank you so much for joining us this week. You can show your support for this show and everything we do at Major Spoilers by becoming a very important patron at members.majorspoilers.com. Your contribution allows us to keep this show going, allows me to continue to use Matthew as my punching bag, and pay for our growing costs, and gives us the motivation to produce more content for you week after week. Thank you so much for checking out Dueling Reviews. We're going to talk with you next time when you'll hear Matthew say,
well, everything was fine until Wally Wick here turned off the power grid.
This podcast is copyright 2016 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.